Before the doxology, this song that we did, We Will Remember. I hope you remember the day you were, that you came to Christ, and that you gave your life to Christ. The other thing that Scripture always causes us to remember is to remember the stories of Scripture. And I just want to add a piece and say that for us to remember them, we need to read them. And we need to read them over and over and over again. I hope you have some kind of plan for slowly reading through the Scriptures. I use a plan still from my Navigator days that has four passages of Scripture for each day. But what I do is I only read one of those four to kind of just take my time with each passage, instead of trying to read all four every day. But I hope you have some kind of plan laid out, because it's when you read Scriptures over and over again that things start to fit together and you start to see where the connections are. And you can see some of the differences, and you can see some of the things that bring the same thing about. Today, I want to read a very short passage from Acts chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. Listen to these words. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come to any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Let me share a little bit about Philip first, because Philip's an incredible person. And I hope maybe you know some of the stories about Philip. He was one of the first deacons that was chosen. So he was not a minister. He was not a teacher. He was one of the first to be servants so that the apostles could center on teaching and prayer. There's an incredible story about Philip. He goes to Samaria, and maybe you need to understand this too. The Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans at all, because the Samaritans were half-breeds. They were not pure Jews. They had not kept their lineage pure. They had intermarried with people outside of the nation of Israel. So they were thought to be half-breeds, not good enough to be Jewish. Not good enough. And Philip goes to them to share with them about the message of Jesus Christ. An incredible thing. It says as he goes about and as he talks with people, that people listen to him, and they accept the word of Jesus Christ. So you see, Philip led people to Jesus Christ in Samaria. He's the one that reached out to those that were thought not to be as good as, that they were second nature citizens, possibly of God, but they were not as good as. And Philip goes out to them and he speaks to them. And after this passage, there's an even more wonderful story that I like about Philip. And this is why our youngest son is named Philip, because of the deacon, Philip. It's about him and an Ethiopian Jew. And I just wish I could have been present when all that happened, because God told him, just go stand on the street corner, is basically what God told Philip to do. And as you stand on a street corner, something will happen and you will know what to do. And this Ethiopian Jew, or this Ethiopian eunuch, not a Jew, he was not a Jew at all. He was outside the Jewish nation. He was in charge of the treasury for the queen of Ethiopia. And he's reading scripture. And Philip hears him reading scripture. And he says, "Hey, do you know what you're reading?" He says, "I don't have a clue. I need somebody to help me." Philip says, "Well, I can help you." And he says, "Well, come on up and ride with me." So he helps him understand how the passage from Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading was about Jesus Christ. And an amazing thing happens, because as they're riding along, the Ethiopian looks over and says, "Hey, there's a pool of water over there. Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip says, "Well, you can. Let's go do it. A deacon, let's go baptize you." And this is where the story becomes even more amazing. And this is the reason I'd like to be there. Because Philip baptizes him, and as he pulls the Ethiopian up out of the water, Philip disappears and finds himself miles away. Now, what kind of story do you think that Ethiopian had? I mean, come on, step into these stories and think about it. He met Jesus Christ. He wanted to be baptized. He got baptized. Think about the story as he goes back to his country. Think about Philip. He goes, "Whoa, how did I get here?" He's probably just as confused as the Ethiopian is. But you see, in this case, Philip had stepped out and took the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to people that were thought of as not being good enough. Huh. Are we doing the same? Are we taking the message to people that are considered second-class citizens? Are we taking the message to people that are considered not good enough? Are we taking the message to immigrants, no matter where they come from? Because sometimes in our country, aren't they thought of as not good enough? And you see, Philip was doing that. And they were these people that he brought to Christ. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. These members were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, one thing I want you to understand. Don't take and make a doctrine about how the Holy Spirit comes from this passage. Don't make a doctrine. Because what does it say? They had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Well, that means that's a separate thing that comes later, right? Well, guess what? I can point you to a passage in Acts where the Holy Spirit comes before people got baptized. And I can point you to a passage in Acts where the Holy Spirit comes when people are baptized. Don't make a doctrine out of this by saying, "Well, you got to be baptized by the Holy Spirit later after you're baptized in the name of Jesus." Because there is a passage for all three ways in the book of Acts. You can't make a doctrine out of it. And can't say, "This is the formula, this is how it happens, this is the way it progresses." Because it happens all three ways in the book of Acts. Why they did not receive the Holy Spirit yet? Can't answer that question. Scripture doesn't explain that to us. It says that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't know why they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. Nothing's given here. It hadn't happened. So Peter and John came from Jerusalem to help the new members. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, disciples of Jesus Christ who walked closely with him for 3 years, came to help them, came to give them a little bit more insight and to guide them further. Now, here's one of the things that we can take from this. Just coming and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus is not enough. It is not enough. If that's all you've done, it's not enough. Now, listen to me carefully. You are saved when you do that. The baptism does not make you saved. That's an outward action of something that's already happened internal. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Being baptized is something that's a public profession, a public announcement, really, of what you've already done in your heart and following along in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was baptized, even though he didn't need to be, he was baptized. And by the way, on that same moment, the Holy Spirit descended and God spoke. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, the disciples came to guide them further in their faith. And what we need to realize is that just walking the aisle, joining a church, being baptized, is not enough. Growing in faith is what is important. And continuing to grow in faith is what is important. And for some reason, these members that Philip led to the Lord needed some help and needed some understanding that could progress them in their growth in Jesus Christ. Now, my theology that I've come to understand from studying the Bible, and I'm just going to say it's mine because it's my understanding, okay? But a lot of other people would write the same way. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, 100% of God comes to live within you. 100%. Not 1%, not 10%. Nowhere in between. God comes to live within you. Now, there's a process from that moment on that's called sanctification. You learn more about what that means. You learn more about how you should act, what things you should say, what things you should do, what changes you need. Oops, I said a bad word. I'm sorry. Because you guys don't like change, do you? But let's be honest. You don't like change in the church, but you like change everywhere else, don't you? If you go to a restaurant and they serve the exact one same meal every time you go, how often will you go back? If a radio station only plays one song ever, how long will it be before you change the channel? If a TV station plays only one episode of one show all day, every day, all week, how long will it be before you change the channel? You can't tell me you don't like change. You just don't like change in the church. But what I want to tell you, the process of growing in Jesus Christ is change. I do know a few people who have told me already they're perfect and they don't need to change. Some of you are laughing. You probably met the same few people that I met. They know that they don't need to change in any way because they know everything right, and they do everything right, and they think everything right. Matter of fact, they might even tell you, if you don't think their way, you're wrong. Correct? Does every one of us understand everything there is about the spiritual life? I've been studying the spiritual life faithfully since the early 90s. And if I'll be true to what happens, given the opportunity, I learn something new every day. Now I have to be awake and aware. I have to be looking for where God's trying to teach me something new. Does it happen? Yes, it happens. I get these new aha moments. You ever had one of those? Just one of those moments where you go, how come I never understood that before? I'm really asking you to think about your spiritual growth. Are you the same place spiritually that you were 5 years ago? Or have you grown? Are you the same place you were a decade ago? Or have you grown? Were you the same place as you were a year ago? Or have you grown spiritually? See, I don't know and I don't understand because the scriptures don't tell us why these people did not receive the Holy Spirit when they were baptized. Or why they had not received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. I don't know. Scripture doesn't give me any information about why not. But they needed to know something. They needed to understand something. And Peter and John came to help them grow further spiritually. I want to ask you to consider what help you need to grow further spiritually. Consider what help you need. Because all of us need some. Sometimes my help comes from reading the scriptures. Sometimes it comes from an extended time of prayer. Sometimes it comes from just being quiet. Because what does Scripture tell us about God's voice? Does it say it's a booming, loud, wonderful thunder that nobody will ever miss? What does it say it is? A still, small voice. And we live in the midst of so much noise. How will we ever hear it? It's a process to learn how to be quiet. It really is. It's a process to learn how to be silent. Dan knows that I know how to do it. You think I don't know how to do it. Oh, he talks all the time. Sometimes at home, there's not very many words ever said by me. Deanne likes to talk to herself, and I try not to answer her when she does. But I mean it seriously, it is nothing unusual for me not to speak before noon on Saturday. It's nothing unusual for me to be sitting and working on a model with no music in the background, no TV in the background, no audiobook. Just quietly listening while I keep my hands busy. Just quietly listening. What is it you need? Because sometimes when I'm quiet, that's when I really hear God speak. Sometimes when I'm in the scriptures, sometimes it's another religious work written by someone else. This past week, I talked with Jerry about it. This past week, I was reading Thomas Merton. And if you don't know the story of Thomas Merton, I would encourage you to go get the book Seven Story Mountain. It's his autobiography. Incredibly intelligent, learned man. Absolutely incredible. He was beyond genius in my understanding. And when you read his writings, you'll see why I say that. Because sometimes you just got to chew on them word by word. And then all of a sudden it breaks through. The one that broke through to me through one of his books, he wrote these few sentences that I did not even have to try to memorize. They have stuck within my heart for decades because it was in the middle or late 90s that I read these words. Who am I? I am myself a word spoken by God. Can God speak a word that does not have any meaning? Who am I? I am a word spoken by God. Can God speak a word that does not have any meaning? Can God speak a word that does not have any meaning? You have been spoken by God into existence. And God wants a deep and wonderful, loving relationship with you. One that happens every day. It has to be a process of growing, it has to be a learning, a continuing, an ongoing. As it is in any relationship with anybody else, it has to be ongoing. It has to be continuing. Otherwise, it just slowly fades away. What's your need? Do you need some help in understanding the Bible more? Do you need some help in how do I pray? How do I talk to God? Do you need some help in how do I share what God's been teaching me with other people? Do you need some help in how to see God more and more each day? for that last one, I would encourage you to go find a book. It's called the Practicing the Presence of God. It's about yay thick for those people that don't like reading books. It's a little one. It's about a gentleman who became a monk. Real person. He was a soldier, a warrior. And later in his life, he had to get away from it. So he went to a monastery and joined. Well, since he was not learned and had not so much grown up in the understandings of the church, guess what his duty was at the monastery? He got to cook and clean dishes. He wasn't always in the chapel praying with them, and he was busy fixing meals and cleaning up. His name's Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence says this. He said, I learned more about God, and it was more comfortable meeting with God, washing dishes, than I ever was in the chapel. You ever thought about washing dishes as a way to worship? Pretty sure most people haven't. It's a time that my wife lets me play in the bubbles. I don't get to play in the bubbles any other time. But is washing dishes worship for you? Is washing dishes is vacuuming the rug worship for you? It's not for me. I'll be honest. That's what one of my tasks at home is, to vacuum the floors. Not a very exciting thing. I haven't figured out how to turn that into worship. But Brother Lawrence said he was closer to God washing dishes than he was when he spent time in the sanctuary. Have you grown into that kind of spiritual life where you can find God wherever you are? Like I said, I don't know what these people needed to understand that the Holy Spirit had come. But the apostles helped them. And every one of us has a need. So I'm going to ask you to think about this. Are you open to help? And I'm not so much thinking now about helping other people, but are you open to be helped so that this year will be one of spiritual growth for you? Are you open to be helped? Let us pray. Lord, sometimes our society and our culture teaches us that we've got to learn how to be independent. And we've got to learn how to do everything on our own. And we don't need help. But Lord, if we could face the truth, we came to you to be our Savior because we knew we needed help, and that we would never have salvation, forgiveness, eternal life by anything we could ever do. That's why Jesus came. Can't really understand how things happen sometimes, but Lord, we need to know your Holy Spirit in a deeper way so that we might be able to grow spiritually. And maybe that will require help from somebody else. Help us to be open to that. Help us to consider. Help us to be humble enough that we can be taught. And humble enough that we know we need to change, so that we might bring praise and honor and glory to you by the way we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.